I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and bring in from 24/7 Sports and Bucknuts.com, Steve Hellwagon. How you doing, Steve?
Hey, what's going on?
Man, it's been a while since we talked. You know, we talk every Saturday when it comes to the Buckeyes preview and the Buckeyes games all throughout the season. And I just wanted to get with you as the season is coming down, as the training camps and camps are starting in the league and camps are and kids are ready to report, to their local colleges. I wanted to get your perspective on what is this climate? What are people doing, and especially in terms of the NCAA, we've seen Major League Baseball have issues. We don't know how football is going to handle it. What are your thoughts on, and what do you think the NCAA has done so far to kind of make sure that the season goes on?
Yeah, it's a tough time, no doubt about it, Garrett, and a lot of uncertainty, I think, as we kind of move into this stretch. Ohio State is supposed to start preseason camp next Friday, this coming week. So we don't even have a schedule of games, though, because they scrapped the previous schedule, and the Big Ten is working on what we feel is going to be a 10-game conference-only schedule. So you don't even know the exact date of the first game, although we think it could be September the 5th. It's just a lot of uncertainty, I guess. And I know a lot of people on the high school scene are dealing with the same thing. Today was supposed to be the first day of practice for a lot of fall high school teams. But, it is what it is. This is what we're going through as a society right now, and we're just trying to make the best of it is probably the best way to put it. And just put one foot in front of the other, and you hope that if there's any spikes or anything, that we can work through that or whatever. You know, they're just going to have protocols in place to deal with all these issues. It's very unfortunate. And, for a lot of these kids, sports are their life, and particularly at the high school level. And obviously these college kids aspiring to go on to the NFL, they need a season to be able to show that it could be professional players. And it's a complicated situation, but I think everybody's just trying to work through it the best they can.
You know, you bring up a really good point. You're talking about the level of kids that need a year. There's some guys who are the super elite prospects, Trevor Lawrence come to mind, who are going to get drafted regardless, right? But then there's a lot of kids who need to work their way in. A lot of kids that, you know, may have a breakout year that want to get to the league. Yep. How do you think this thing plays out between those two separate groups of people? Do you think that you could see the elite people, the elite first two-round players opt out of the season? And then you see a lot more, guys who need that year still play and take the risk.
Yeah, you make a great point, because there's somebody who is a known commodity like Trevor Lawrence, who started two full seasons at Clemson, won a bunch of big games and shown what he could do, projected number one pick. Does he need to put himself in harm's way from an injury situation or from an illness situation? Does he, I say this and people will immediately say, well, the younger generation has bounced back from this and shown very few ill effects on the whole thing. And so there's not as much to be worried about there. But that's somewhat of a misnomer, because there have been cases that have been serious with the younger generation, mm-hmm. just as well as those of us who are in a more advanced age group. So, you know, I see that. I think if the season's played in the fall, I think most, if not, 95% of the guys would be out there, and because football's their passion, it's what they love, and that's what they want to do. I think, you know, Justin Fields obviously is a kid that is kind of same boat as Trevor Lawrence. If they try and push this to the spring, I would think that a lot of those first and second round guys would sit out and prepare for the NFL, if it's a combine or workouts or whatever it would be, because that wouldn't make sense then to. And not only that, how do you play two football seasons in the same calendar year, just getting beat up like you would playing a full season? It would be very difficult. So, no one has really tried it. I know that there were some guys who played in some of those minor leagues the last couple of years in the spring who got NFL contracts. And obviously did try to do that, but those instances are few and far between. So, you know, I'm of a mind that most, if not all, the guys would play if it's in the fall. But again, if you try and postpone things or push things back, then you kind of open the door for guys to skip it. And you know, guys were skipping bowl games that weren't playoff games here, or the New Year's Six. The last couple of years, guys have sat out those games to protect their draft status, and wouldn't surprise me a bit.
Talking to Steve Hellwagon on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's from 24/7 Sports and Bucknuts.com, talking about the NCAA and their response to COVID-19 in this upcoming year. Steve, when you look at it and you take a look at the scheduling and what some of the conference has proposed, does this kind of turn back into the BCS? If you're going to play a conference schedule, how do you think they'll incorporate a Final Four or the college championship series? Or is it going to be, hey, we're going to play our, you know, schedule, we'll play our conference championship game, and then we'll let, you know, whoever's number one at the end of that, we'll crown them champion? How do you think they'll take into those in account for the protocols if, say, for instance, they get through the season and then they're not able to continue because of outbreak? How do you think they'll handle that?
Yeah, you make a good point, a good question there. I don't think anybody's really discussed the postseason at this point. I think the biggest thing right now that the Big Ten and some of these major conferences are trying to do is preserve some shadow of a regular season. And that's because a lot of their television money with Fox and ESPN and ABC for the Big Ten, and obviously CBS and ESPN for the SEC, is tied up with the regular season TV package. So you want to present a TV product that will help you get most, if not all, of that TV money into the conferences and dispersed out to the schools so that they can pay their bills. I mean, these are enormous budgets. Ohio State's athletic budget is roughly $200 million, and that TV money probably accounts for 25 to 30% of that. They're already missing the gate revenue because they're only going to have 20% of the fans at the games this year, it sounds like, if they're able to play, if they're able to have fans at all. So many ifs involved in this. I think you worry about having a regular season first. And then I assume that there will be a 14 playoff if they're able to safely produce a regular season. But they did away with all the neutral site games, which is kind of interesting to me. You know, those games are in Atlanta, Dallas, Wisconsin was supposed to play Notre Dame up at Lambeau Field. Wisconsin was supposed to play Northwestern at Wrigley Field, and they canceled those neutral site games so that they could have the games back on campus where they can control the protocol and the safety and the health situation with the virus. So to me, I haven't heard anything yet about a conference championship game, whether it would be in Indianapolis or possibly on the campus of one of the two teams that are playing. So that is kind of up in the air, too. And so I guess until we get through midway through a regular season, it's impossible to predict what a format could look like. But I guess if they play the season, you assume the playoff will go on as it typically has last few years, because there's a tremendous amount of money involved in the playoff and the New Year's Six Bowls. So maybe they play those six bowls, but don't really play a lot of the other. I saw the Red Box Bowl out in San Francisco was canceled already for this year. So some of those other bowl games could go by the wayside because, again, is it worth it to put people in a situation, you know, where they could contract the virus or whatever for kind of a lesser bowl game, kind of an NIT kind of bowl game? It doesn't make much sense. But you make a lot of money off the New Year's Six games. Maybe those would be the ones that you keep.
When you look at it, you know, I look at sports and it's a representation of what happens in the broader perspective and the broader across, you know, the world and what it represents. And so when you look at in the regular business world and our everyday lives, there's businesses that because of COVID-19 have gone out of business that aren't coming back. They're just not going to be there because they can't recover from that financial blow. Are there any cases where there might be teams, conferences that may be more vulnerable to when you lose the revenue from an NCAA tournament basketball-wise and then the conference tournament basketball? And then if they were to take a hit in terms of the, you know, the revenue for the gate or TV deals or even the bowls in getting the conference championships, do you think there's some schools or conference that are susceptible to possibly going away and never coming back?
Yeah, I think that you are definitely on to something there because it is such a fragile thing for some of the conferences outside the Power Five, like the MAC. We saw Bowling Green cut some athletic programs almost immediately as a response to this. Well, you know, you look at Bowling Green and Buffalo, for example, they were supposed to play at Ohio State in the non-conference, and both those games would have been worth about $1.5 million to Bowling Green. You know, their athletic department is certainly not on the same scale as Ohio State in terms of budget, in terms of the number of sports. Ohio State has 35 or 36 varsity sports, whereas Bowling Green probably has 12 or 15 or whatever the normal number would be for a mid-American school. And I could be off, it could be as many as 20, but you get the understanding that it's not as big in scope, and you take $1.5 million out of their budget for not playing that game. That's a huge hit for them. So there is a lot of that going on. I don't know about cutting football at this point, but some of the other non-revenue sports could be forever lost because of this. And I hate to see that because, you know, those are our sons and daughters who go out there and play soccer, play baseball, they play golf. I mean, they're involved in other things just besides the revenue sports. And they've allowed those kids to have a great chance to get a college education for, you know, decades, and you hate to see any loss of opportunity that comes up. And this is a byproduct of this, but it's also the fragile nature of college athletics and budgeting. It's just a very tight scope for some of these schools, and you hate to see it. I know Akron is going through various problems at the university level. It's certainly going to trickle down to their athletics. And it's sad. I mean it's a national worldwide health crisis that's kind of put us on this brink of survival for some of these schools and some of their athletic programs. But, you know, I guess we just have to hold out the hope that if this is considered a spike, a late summer spike or however you want to put it, that we can get on the back end of it sooner rather than later and preserve something so that we can have some kind of normalcy going forward.
When you look at it and you take a look at it, colleges in general, if, you know, we looked at it in terms of high schools, there were things that were happening where the school themselves, the schools are saying, we don't know if we're going to be coming back full time. We may do 2-3 days. We may split the alphabet up. You guys come Tuesday, Thursdays. These guys come Monday, Wednesday. And we can kind of figure out what we're going to do Friday in order to socially distance, cut down the numbers of those individuals as well. In college campuses, if they say we're not opening up to college, everything is remote. I had a caller on earlier that asked this, how are they going to ensure, still being higher education and still being students first if the colleges aren't having those individuals on campus? If they cancel college, are they going to be able to still play the games?
That's a great question. And I think there's been a lot of debate about that. And I can tell you from my experience, I've got two kids who are going to be seniors. They're twins at Ohio State. Ohio State, as of right now, is doing a mix of in-person and online, as far as I know, and they're going to start on time. My youngest daughter is going down to Oxford, to Miami, and they are going to start with remote online learning for the beginning portion of the fall term, and then hopefully go to in-person as the term continues, kind of monitor and see how things go. So you get two state schools have two different approaches, and there may not be consistency across the board as to what is done in Florida is what's done in Ohio, and so on. So, and that's just two schools in Ohio taking two different approaches. So there is no one size fits all for the high school level or the college level with this thing. It's basically local control of what you think is best for your atmosphere and your campus. And then you bring up, well, if it's remote learning at the beginning and students aren't going to classes, then how do you justify having football games and all the other fall sports, soccer, golf, et cetera, whatever it may be? And I don't know if I have a good answer for that one way or the other. I think if the activity is proven to be safe, then I guess it gives you a better hope or chance that you would have the activity. But if, let's say, Ohio State starts practice on Friday and suddenly there's outbreaks or whatever within the program, they have to shut things down and clean everything up for a week or whatever, or take some time off, then maybe it's shown that it's not safe. So I know that Rutgers was shut down. There were players who attended a party, and somebody contracted it, led to an outbreak of 10 to 15 players on the team that had the virus. Michigan State was shut down because a couple of staff members had it. In baseball, the Marlins are shut down right now, as we know, because of what happened there. And the team that they played was shut down as well, the Phillies. So, yeah, it's difficult times, and I think people are very I guess what I'd say worn out by this whole thing by this point, and hoping that it will be over. But hoping it to be over and it being over are two different things, and I think we just have to stay patient as a society and do the proper things that we're supposed to do to stay out of harm's way, and that's the best way that we can get through this time. And you just wish for the best. And I am a believer that it's going to work out. It's just getting from point A to point B is still going to be a big issue right now.
Steve, I thank you for your time, and we'll catch up with you as the season progresses and we come up to opening day for the Buckeyes.
Yeah, hopefully we have actual football to talk about this fall and not all these other heavy, deep issues. But, I am optimistic we'll have football this fall.
All right, I appreciate you, man. That's Steve Hellwagon of 24/7 Sports and Bucknuts.com, and he's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs.
Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.